जयो गिरिवरधारी जयो गिरिवरधारी जयो गिरिवरधारी जयो गोपीजन वल्लभ जयो गिरिवरधारी जयो गिरिवरधारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी जय जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रज जनरञ्जन जय यशोदानन्दन जय यशोजनरञ्जन जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रज जनरञ्जन जय व्रज जनरञ्जन जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रज जनरञ्जन जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रज जनरञ्जन जय यमुनातीरवनचारी जय कुञ्जबिहारी जय यमुनातीरवनचारी जय कुञ्ज बिहारी जय यमुनातीरवनचारी जय कुञ्ज बिहारी यमुनातीरवनचारी जय कुञ्ज बिहारी जय राधमाधव जय कुञ्ज बिहारी जय राधमाधव जय कुञ्ज बिहारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ जय गिरिधरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी यशोदानन्दन जय व्रज जनरञ्जन जय यशोदान जय यमुनातीरवनचारी जय कुञ्ज बिहारी जय यमुनातीरवनचारी जय कुञ्ज बिहारी hari hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 ram hare ram 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 hare 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 krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 ram hare ram 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 hare 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 krishna 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 hare 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 ram hare ram 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 hare 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 krishna krishna hare 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 ram hare ram 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 hare hare
shri shri hari naam sankirtan ki jai tai gaur premanande hari hari bo नमो विष्णुपादाय परमहंस परिव्रजाचार्य स्तोत्र सतश्री इस डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की चाय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परमहंस स्तोत्र सतश्री इस डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की जय। नामाचार्य शिला हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री चित्त चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। मथुरा धाम की जय। नवद्वीप श्री मायापुर धाम की जय। जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा माई की जय। वामना माई की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। संकीर्तन यज्ञ की जय। बृहत मृदंग की जय। समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। नारायण नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरया। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैस्तकी। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमती जयप्रदाकस्वामी तिनामे नामाचार्य पादाय निताय कृपाधारणे गौरग्रामदाय नगरग्रामदाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, which is chapter 25, which is entitled The Dynasties of the Sons of Manu. We are reading from text 25 to 28. Since 25, 26, 27 do not have any purport, I will just read the translation and then we can recite text 28. 25 is Urvasi's body was as fragrant as the saffron of a lotus. Being enlivened by the fragrance of her face and body, Pururava enjoyed her company for many days with great jubilation. Text 26. Not seeing Urvasi in his assembly, the King of Heaven, Lord Indra, said, "Without Urvasi, my assembly is no longer beautiful." Considering this, he requested the Gandharvas to bring her back to his heavenly planet. sorry. 9. Sorry. Translation to text number 25 is son of Vivimsati was Rambha, whose son was the great and religious king Khaninetra. O king, the son of Khaninetra was King Karandhama. From Karandhama, text 26, from Karandhama came a Sena son named Avikshit. And from Avikshit, a son named Maruta, who was the emperor. The great mystic Samvarta, the son of Angira, engaged Maruta in performing a sacrifice. Text 27. The sacrificial paraphernalia of King Maruta was extremely beautiful, for everything was made of gold. Indeed, no other sacrifice could compare to his. Text 28, we'll recite. Amadyat Indra Somena Dakshinabhir Vijataya Maruta Parivestaro Visvedaha Sabhasada Amadyat Indra Somena Dakshinabhir Vijataya Maruta Parivestaro Visvedaha Sabhasadha Amadyat Indra Somena Dakshinabhir Vijataya Maruta Parivestaro Vishvedaha Sabhasadha. Amadyat Kinga Somena Maruta Parivesharo Visvedeva Sada Puta Malyalindra Somena Sada Vishve Deva Sadha Dada Mataji Amadyad Indra Somena Dakshina Bhir Vijataya Maruta Parivestaro Vishve Deva Sadha Sadha Amani Angomena Dakshina Bhir Vijataya Maruta Parivestaro Vishve Deva Sadha Sadha Word for word meaning Amadyat become intoxicated. Indra, the king of heaven. Lord Indra, Somena, by drinking the intoxicant. Somarasa, Dakshina Dibi. By receiving sufficient contributions, Dvijataya, the Brahmanical group. Marutaha, the heirs. Parivestaraha, offering the foodstuffs. Vishve Devaha, universal demigods. Sabhasadha, members of the assembly. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki chai. In that sacrifice, King Indra became intoxicated by drinking a large quantity of somarasa. The Brahmanas received ample contributions and therefore they were satisfied. For that sacrifice, the various demigods who controlled the winds offered foodstuffs, and the Vishve Devas were members of the assembly. Purport. Because of the yajna performed by Maruta, everyone was pleased, especially the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. Brahmanas are interested in receiving contributions as priests, and Kshatriyas are interested in drinking. All of them, therefore, were satisfied with their different engagements. Firstly, I seek the blessings from all the exalted Vaishnavas assembled here. I have been asked to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam today. Although I am not a very frequent speaker, I would request you to please bear with me, and whatever I speak is for my purification. Now, in this sloka, especially in 26, 27 and 28, where we see that Maruta is about to perform a sacrificial yajna, we will go through this entire pastime in a little bit of a depth, and there would come about few learnings from that. We can learn some of the points which are worthy of emulation in our lives, so that we could mold our lives conducive to the conduct of Krishna consciousness. And also we can come across instances which we should try and avoid. So this is the basic background. And in fact, these four slokas could be titled as Maruta, a lesson in character for our times. This is what we need to embody, in especially in the current Kali Yuga. There are a few points which I'll just go through, which will give you an idea as to how this is going to pan out, and what could be the learnings from this slokas, these four slokas. Firstly, a king should be fair towards his subjects so that they are able to reciprocate towards him and his kingdom, and accordingly thus make up a prosperous kingdom. It's very essential that king leads his subjects on the right path, not like the current day leaders which we see, because it is the onus of the king to lead his subjects so that they can go back home, back to Godhead. We can see how that happened or how that did not happen. Secondly, how we should conduct ourselves, that is, especially with our following a role model who is right in their conduct, and those who are not right in their conduct, we should try and avoid those kind of instances. That was another point. The third point which we can come across here is that power and wealth can corrupt our lives. We should learn to balance both, keeping the ultimate goal of life in perspective. Fourthly, opportunism and the kind of enticements it provides should not be the path which we should tread. Rather, we should tread the path of unwavering truth, fearless loyalty and total commitment to whatever we undertake. That is one of the points which will come out. Another point which comes out is treachery to a friend is equal to Brahmahatya. I mean, this is what Maruta brings out. And it is the most abhorrent sin. And lastly, how the Brahmanas are to be maintained. They should not, when they want to perform a yajna, they should not say, okay, you give me, say, $500, I perform this yajna. They should not be looking out for their livelihood. Rather, it should be the duty and onus of the king to maintain the Brahmanas, so that they do not have to worry about this aspect, and they can focus on disseminating the proper spiritual knowledge to the people in general, so that they can all go back home, back to Godhead. So this is how the Brahmanas are to be maintained. Unfortunately, we do not see that in the current day world. So this pastime is woven around the three slokas 26, 27, 28, where we see that Maruta performed a sacrificial yajna, which was very opulent, made of gold, and we'll see how that transpired and was thus beautiful. How King Indra, who was initially inimical to this performance of yajna, and eventually participated in this yajna and drank somarasa, etc., etc. So this is the backdrop, given the time, which we will see how this evolves. And if I have a little bit of time at the end, I would like to relate a pastime which is connected with this slokas, which happened in a Rathyatra in Calcutta. Incidentally, today is Jayananda Prabhu's disappearance day. So this incident happened in the Calcutta Rathyatra, which is slightly connected to this. I'll try and connect that, provided we have the time. The background is that King Maruta was the grandson of Khaninetra, who in turn was the son of Khaninetra. Now a little bit of history. Khaninetra was a tyrant of a king who terrorized his subjects, and in course of time they overthrew him. His son Khaninetra was too good to a fault. I mean, he was very straight. He was very humble. And he was the exact opposite of his tyrannical father. Now, when he was ruling, one result was that the enemies whom his father had antagonized, they pounced on him and like hungry wolves, literally. And they wanted to repossess the land which was in the kingdom of Khaninetra. And Khaninetra's father, the tyrant, he had also sort of made the treasury with practically a zero balance. That is, he had squandered all the wealth. So this was the background under which Khaninetra assumed the kingdom. And the Mahabharata tells us an amazing tale about Khaninetra. Actually, the others were trying to attack his kingdom, and he saw he had no wealth and he had practically no army worth the name. So what he did, he meditated on the battlefield, and he folded his palms like this and blew the conch in the form of a conch. And the moment he finished blowing of the conch, miraculously a proper army appeared, and they fought all the enemies, and they were able to establish possession of all the lands which rightfully belonged to Khaninetra. So this tells us, like, if we have a tyrant as a king, he can be overthrown by his subjects. And whereas at the same time, if someone is very loving and taking care of his subjects, they can work wonders for him. So we can see this. Valuable as these lessons are, there is still a more valuable lesson that this noble ruler's grandson teaches us. That is a lesson in character. Here we are going to talk about Maruta in detail. King Maruta was the grandson of the legendary Khaninetra and son of the celebrated king Avikshit. If his father and grandfather were great, Maruta was greater still. Now, because of his exalted position, Indra became very jealous. Indra could not see that, yes, Maruta is embodying such a right spirit. And naturally, when you have these kind of mentalities, you tend to sort of become mellow, magnanic, and you try to put down the other person. So the first thing which Indra did was, he went to Brihaspati, who was the Kulaguru of Maruta, and he went and told him, look, you are not going to perform any yajnas or sacrifices for Maruta in future. You are going to cut off all relations. See, this is the wrong thing. Brihaspati initially was very reluctant, but then Indra sort of bribed him or sort of enticed him. He gave him the job of the chief priest in Indra's kingdom. The only condition was that he would sever all his relations with Maruta in future. Maruta, in fact, he embellished his argument that Brihaspati should not conduct any yajnas for Maruta because Maruta was a mere mortal and now you are in the exalted company of demigods. So, come on, hey, have a look. There's a difference. So, with all these arguments, he won over Brihaspati. Now, the scent of the pleasures of power corrupted him instantly and Brihaspati agreed. Which tells us that even how easily even those people who are very great, exalted, they could be enticed by this power and wealth, etc. So that is another milestone which we got to keep in mind, that we tread carefully there. So what we can see is that whatever prevailed with Indra and Brihaspati between them, it's happening in the current day world. So those days were possibly or probably not very different from what we find now, because now this scene of corruption is very, very deep rooted. Now at that time, Maruta was getting ready to conduct the sacrifice and he approached his guru Brihaspati in the normal course. Before he thought about this conduct of sacrifice, he had gone and sought blessings from his guru, permission from his guru for the conduct of this yajna, and the guru had agreed that yes, he will come and do the yajna. That happened quite some time back. But then when he approached his guru now for beginning this yajna, Brihaspati flatly refused him and told him that he would no more officiate as a priest and you are a mere mortal. I am the priest of the gods and I cannot officiate for you anymore. Maruta reminded him, look, I have taken permission from you, I had sought your blessings and that you had agreed to conduct the same. But then Brihaspati remained firm and he said, no, I will not come and perform your sacrifice. You can go to anybody else whom you choose. I will not come. And naturally, Maruta was shattered. He wanted to perform this yajna and he was very disappointed.
So when he was walking back, he met Narada. So Narada asked him, where are you coming from? What happened? I mean, you don't seem to be very happy. And Marutar apprised him that he had wanted to perform a yajna and he had taken the blessings and permission from his Kula Guru Brihaspati, and for some unknown reason, because Maruta was not aware of what transpired between Brihaspati and Indra. So he said, I do not know, Brihaspati now refuses to be my guru. He is refusing to perform the yajna. So I do not know what to do, and I think so I will end my life. My life is not worthy of living if my guru has rejected me. Narada pacified him. He said, don't worry, I'll get you another priest who's much more exalted than Brihaspati, although not many people know about it, and I will show you how to approach him and see that your yajna is performed without any hindrance. So what he told him was, Brihaspati had a younger brother called Samvarta, and actually both were in the same profession, Brahmanas. Samvarta had a slight edge over Brihaspati, and that fact Brihaspati could not tolerate, that this fellow seems to be ahead of me. So whatever endeavors Samvarta took, Brihaspati would throw obstacles in that path. So whatever Samvarta did, he would be an obstacle, Brihaspati, because he did not want Samvarta to come up at all. Samvarta got pretty cheesed up. He said, okay, you can do whatever you want. I am relinquishing all of this post and I will wander around the world as an ascetic. So this is the background of Samvarta, so which was told by Narada to Maruta. Narada also told Maruta how you can get him to agree. Narada told Maruta, you go to Banaras, Varanasi, and at the city gate you put a dead body, and you will see a naked ascetic. He will come. The moment he sees the dead body, he'll go back. He is Samvarta. And he'll be very difficult for you to convince to do this yajna. But you tell him, look, Brihaspati had refused. So anyhow, he should do. So the same thing happened. He laid out a dead body in the gates of Varanasi. And he saw an ascetic coming there, Samvarta. And Maruta went and approached him. And as Narada had predicted, Maruta sort of started abusing him. He said, what are you approaching me for? You go, if you want a yajna perform, you go to Brihaspati. He will do. He was not showing any signs of inclination. But then Maruta persisted. And as advised by Narada Muni, he very, very humbly requested Samvarta, and he told him, look, he had gone to Brihaspati and Brihaspati had agreed, but for some unknown reason he is now done a U-turn. He is not going to be helping me perform this yajna. And that, when he said this much, Samvarta, his heart melted. Mind you, Samvarta had no background at this point in time, because he had Yajaman, etc., everything he had given up. But when he saw that, yes, he was in difficulty and his own brother had refused. So he said, okay, I will do the yajna. But then he told him, look, Brihaspati and Indra, they are together. The moment they see me performing the yajna, all hell is going to break loose. Both of them are going to come down on us very heavily. You may not be able to bear it. Now, do you give me an oath that you will stand by me? Because when I start the yajna, they will start their performance. And you may not be able to bear it. And once the yajna is started, it should not be stopped midway. That is sacrilege. So, unless you stand by me, I will not start the yajna. But take it for sure, take it for granted that those two are going to make our lives miserable. But you don't worry. I will freeze Indra in his tracks. And whatever else he tries, I will see that yes, there are remedial measures for that. But it will be pretty frightening. You should undertake an oath that you will stand by me and see that this yajna is completed. Marutva was a man of his words. He said, yes, I am willing to take the oath. Now, I'll just read out what is the kind of oath which Marutva had undertaken. Marutva had undertaken this oath that may I be denied my future worlds for so long as the sun shines in the sky and mountains stand still if I abandon you. Number two, may I be denied forever the pursuit of goodness and may I forever remain trapped in the meaningless pleasures of flesh if I abandon you. It was a pretty strong vow. Samvarta was pleased. Yes, he says, if you stand by this, I am willing to undertake the yajna, but you have to carry out your part of the bargain. So he started the preparations, and for doing a yajna, you require a lot of wealth. So Samvarta told Marutva how to get that wealth, to go to the Himalayas. Firstly, take the blessings of Lord Shiva and you will get the wealth and you bring everything back and then I will start. So when this was set in motion, word had already reached Brahaspati ki the yajna is going to be performed by his own younger brother whom he detested. And that fellow Brahaspati started become melancholic and he sort of, he was very, very shattered that Samvarta has again come to sort of antagonize me. So he was very disappointed and it was shown in his face and his conduct. And Indra asked him, Kibai, what happened? All this while you are okay, what happened? Then Brahaspati apprised Indra, look, the sacrifice is going to happen and it's going to be done by my own younger brother. And see, now these type of people, Brahaspati, when he gets into these kind of mood, so he can't tolerate anyone doing better than him. And even if he's anyone else slightly challenges him, he challenges his greatness, he sort of gets very worried, very despotic. So Samvarta had always been a rival in his eyes. Now what happened? Brahaspati went to the extent of calling him Me Shatru. That is, he is my enemy. The own blood brother, he is calling him enemy. So, as I said, these things which we got to learn from this pastime is that we should not get into these kind of positions. We should be very, very careful. So this is what, that is, he has gone to the extent of calling his own younger brother his Shatru. So, whereas Brihaspati wants undeserved honor at all times. We see in the scriptures also that he is shown as an exalted guru, but his real life, there are these kind of instances. In fact, there are one or two other kind of instances which are pretty gory in Brihaspati's life, which I will not go through. It's not very nice to hear. So here on the one side we have the preparations for the sacrifice being done, and the other side the depression and melancholy of Brihaspati. And Brihaspati was getting sickly and started losing interest in everything and withdrew into himself. In fact, Brihaspati told Indra that, look, at no cost this sacrifice should happen. In fact, you should get hold of both of them, Samvarta and Maruta, and imprison them so that the sacrifice doesn't happen. So Indra started using his first oppressive action, that is, he called Agni Deva, personality Agni, god of fire, and told, you go on to Maruta and plead with him, tell him, look, if you stop the sacrifice, don't get it done by Samvarta. In fact, he said, Brihaspati will do, you promise that. And at any cost, this yagna has got to be stopped. So Agni went there. And Maruta received him very nicely. He's coming from the heavenly planets. He received him very nicely. He heard what Maruta heard what Agni Dev had to say. And very humbly he said, yes, I do have the highest of respect for Brihaspati, my brother, Brihaspati as well as Indra. And but with due respect, the sacrifice is going to start and it will be done. I will not be able to agree to Indra's pleas. At that point, Samvarta jumped in this conversation and threatened Agni Deva, look, I will reduce you to ashes if you don't buzz off from here. You please get lost. You are not required here. Agni Deva was pretty frightened. Now here Agni Deva reduces everybody else to ashes, and here Samvarta is telling that I will reduce you to ashes. So when he went and told that to Indra, Indra started laughing at him. He said, what are you? You have got that power. Nobody else has that power. You have to go back and ensure that that yagya does not happen. So this is how the mind of a person who is afflicted by these kind of agonies, they tend to think, and which is a lesson for us. Agni Deva was very afraid. He said, if there is one place I am not going to, that is that place. I am not going there. In fact, Indra had told Agni Deva, look, you can go and promise him the three worlds if he stops that yajna. And he will get three worlds, he will get half my kingdom, all kinds of things. But Agni Deva said, nothing doing. I am not going there. In fact, another offer which Indra made to Maruta through his emissary was grant of immortality. Of course, this reminds us of the pastime of Narasimhadev. So he went to that extent. But Agni Dev said, no way. Then Indra approached a Gandharva and told him, okay, look, you go and get this stopped. This is not to happen. And you give him these carrots, all these carrots you give him. And at the end, if he still does not agree, he threw in the stick and he said that you will be confronted with Indra's thunderbolt. So carrot and the stick was given to the Gandharva. But Maruta was firm and he was polite. So this is the character of Maruta which we should try to sort of bring into our own lives, that he had given his word to his Guru Samvarta, and he was very polite. He received this Gandharva very politely, and he again paid respects, etc., to Indra, Brihaspati, etc. But he said, no, Samvarta is going to do this yajna. And then he threw him the thunderbolt stick. He said, come what may, I am not going to stop this yajna at any cost. So we can see how Indra, his mind was functioning, Brihaspati, his mind was functioning, and the steely character displayed by Maruta. So the yajna started. The moment the yajna started, then all kinds of impediments started coming down from the kingdom of Indra, Brihaspati, and lightning, thunderbolts, etc. Everything was coming, and Samvarta, calmly, he managed to decimate all of them. Then the intensity of those thunderbolts and things like that, they started increasing, so much so that all the people, they got frightened, ki bhai, what is happening now? And then they all came to Maruta. Maruta was now started slowly to getting a little doubtful, ki how is it going to be possible? I mean, will we be able to withstand this? Samvarta calmed him down. He said, don't worry. And when the thunderbolt came, Samvarta recited certain mantras and the thunderbolt froze in the air. Nothing else happened. But Maruta was pleading to Samvarta, ki look, everybody should be invited for this. So Samvarta asked him, who else do you think? Everybody seems to be here. He said, no, I want Indra and I want Brihaspati. He said, what? They have been inimical to you, yet you want them? He said, yes, everybody should come here and get the fruits from this yajna. I don't mind how they have treated me in the past. Everybody should come. So this is a lesson in Maruta's character, which we should try and imbibe, that yes, howsoever hard or harsh one has been, to treat them nicely. So when Samvarta started pleading with all the gods, demigods, to come and assemble and partake in this sacrifice, they all came, including Indra. Indra was very happy that yes, he was being honored. He came here, and Indra inspired quite a few people to ensure that this yajna is conducted very nicely, and that is when the somarasa and all that was drunk, as was being highlighted in these slokas. So Maruta said, salutations to you. He is welcoming Indra. O Lord of the Celestials, please look upon me benignly. Your coming here has sanctified the sacrifice. Blessed is my life because you have honored me. Then he introduced Samvarta as his priest and the younger brother of Brihaspati. Indra replied, I know this guru of yours, the younger brother of Brihaspati, is rich in spiritual prowess. Unendurably bright is his luster. It is drawn by that I have come here, in spite of myself. I am pleased with you now, and all my anger has disappeared. So Maruta thanked Indra once again and requested him to advise whatever needs to be done for the conduct of this yajna. And thereby the sacrificial yajna was conducted very nicely. I mean, it was embellished in gold, as we have seen this past time in these slokas. So thereby the sacrifice ended very nicely. Now, actually, yes, we are all practicing sadhakas. We know that, you know, this drinking of somaras, etc., you get quite a lot of pleasure. And so much so, in India, if you just walk down the street, if you ask him, what is your goal of life? He will immediately say, liberation. I want liberation. That is, he wants to go to one of these heavenly planets to enjoy. Prabhuji, we have about 5 more minutes. Right. I'll just conclude with this pastime, which happened in the Calcutta Rath Yatra, which is connected with this. I'll try and connect that with this. Now, Calcutta Rath Yatra, it's a huge affair. It's done very nicely every year. And what happens is, Jagannath Ji, he comes out on the day of the Rath. We build a Gundicha Mandir about 8 miles away from the temple. We hire a territorial army's field and we build a huge pandal. We build a Gundicha Mandir there, and then we have preaching opportunities, etc., and khichdi distribution, and it's a huge affair. Over 6 acres of land, we build the pandal just to be able to attract the devotees. Now, the number of devotees which come to that Gundicha Mandir on those 8 days is nearly about 10 lakhs. They are not those ISKCON devotees, normal Bengalis. They have very great regard for Jagannath Ji. So at least 10 lakh of people take darshan of Jagannath Ji in Gundicha Mandir. Incidentally, just a small statistic, the Calcutta temple is situated in Albert Road. It's a small temple. And an entire year, the maximum number of devotees who could have possibly come there is not more than 2 lakhs. But in those 8 days, nearly 10 lakh people come and have darshan. Now, in that pandal, various kinds of pandal are there just to be able to attract these devotees and do our preaching endeavors. There is a hall which is built up and where continuous pravachan is being given by senior sannyasi, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Jayapitak Maharaj, and various senior disciples of Prabhupada and senior devotees of Mayapur, etc. Continuously pravachan goes on. So at one point in time, pravachan was happening, a hall was packed. So Maharaj was explaining how this Rath Yatra. He explained about Rath Yatra, and then he explained about one particular incident where Radharani is pleading with Krishna that you come to Vrindavan, and he is put on a chariot and tries to pull him. He just said this much, and then thereafter a little bit more about Jagannath Ji, Rath Yatra, etc., and then he ended the lecture. He said, any questions? There were a few questions. Then at the end, one devotee took up his hand, put up his hand and said, Maharaj, you said very little about Radharani. Can you give us some more intimate pastimes about Radharani? Now, this was very, very shocking. Normally, we do not discuss the intimate pastimes of Radharani with Krishna, etc. Maharaj was very, very upset. He said, I do not know where you come from, what is your background, what is your status, etc. But at our practicing sadhaka level, we have only one goal of life, and that is to serve Guru and Gauranga. Don't think about these intimate pastimes. Similarly, that don't think about these heavenly planets, this, that, etc. Just serve Guru and Gauranga. At the end of our life, depending on how we have conducted ourselves, our spiritual master, if he is pleased, he will allot us duties in the next life. So don't worry about intimate pastimes. These are not to be discussed in public. So it's a lesson that, yes, these are sort of things which we should take precautions, that how we conduct ourselves in public, what is the kind of questions which we should ask, especially of senior sannyasis, and what we should know internally is what is our duties. Like Maharaj clearly said, you satisfy your spiritual master and Mahaprabhu. They will take care, they will allot what is your next destination. So, with that, I end my lecture, Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your class. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. You made a lot of nice points. One of them that caught my attention was you mentioned that if a king is a tyrant.
If a king is?
Tyrant. He's evil.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Tyrant.
Then he could be overthrown. But we also hear from the scriptures that whether a king is a tyrant or evil is kind of relative. I'll just use an example of Ambarish and Durvasa Muni. From the past time, we learned that Ambarish was a very noble king. He was a good king. But if we ask Durvasa Muni, he would say he's a evil king because he was covered by envy. And I'll just use one other example that I appreciate since Nrisimha Appearance Day is coming up. I remember when I first got a poster of Nrisimha Dev, and my mom saw the poster, and I told her this was God. She exploded. Okay. And so that's the tendency. We see that there's so many pastimes where the lesson is that even though we are seeing something, that does not make us a seer. If we ran out the room and saw Nrisimha Dev, we would say he's an evil demon devotee. So my question is that how do we, there's a quote that says, nothing will give you greater peace than minding your own business. So how do we know when to mind our own business and when to, you know, like Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, don't mind your own business. These are tyrants. Arjuna's like, I want to mind my own business. But so how do we know when to mind our own business or when not to? Because that's the tendency that everyone has their opinion of who's a devotee, who's not a devotee, who's evil, who's not evil. There's so many biographies, it's relative. So that's kind of my question. How do we know when to mind our own business and not to? If so, maybe that's
it. That is, you basically want to know how do we know whether, how do we mind our own business? See, it all starts from faith, that you have a certain amount of faith in a process that yes, this is going to lead you ahead. And the other thing which I have noticed personally in my own life is how we approach our spiritual master, how we pray to him to be guided by him. And these are kind of signposts, and there are various other signposts also available, that especially our spiritual masters, they have a very strong influence over us. We may not have a personal contact with us. I can give you an example. A sannyasi, he used to come to one place, and it was a house surrounded by devotees. He's sitting there, and he picked one devotee, and he asked, how many rounds do you chant? The devotee was a little embarrassed. He asked once again. She said, 8 rounds. He said, try and improve. He left it at that. He came after about 8-9 months, and same kind of a setting. He was talking to various people. He picked on that one devotee and asked him, how many rounds do you chant now? By that time, the devotee had improved. So this shows that yes, the spiritual master is able to exert, he knows our mind, like what you have in the airport, the scanners. He scans each one of us. So when you have this kind of a faith, irrespective of the fact whether you are close to him, whether you are far away from him, he sees that, he guides you. Another example I'll tell you. When I was in Dubai, I had practiced Krishna consciousness for 7 years, but I used to go to all the programs regularly. But initiation, I said, I am not confident I'll be able to hold the Japamala throughout my life. No way. That's not going to happen, especially when I go back to India. I may not be in the circle of devotees. I will not get into initiation. I won't be able to take that vow. But then the devotees, my Shiksha Guru, he told me, look, it's not a question that you are doing this by your own endeavor. You have the desire. Your Guru Maharaj will fulfill that desire. You have the desire to make progress in Krishna consciousness. It is your Guru Maharaj's responsibility to ensure that yes, you are taken forward. Only thing is, you need to desire. So forget about these things that yes, you go to India, you will be lost, this, that, etc. All the examples have happened. I have seen in my own life few other people who have gone back, but they were lost when they went to India. They were not connected with the temple. But then, yes, Guru Maharaj has played a role, although there's no personal interaction between us. But then he saw to it that yes, he is placed, I am placed in certain appropriate circumstances whereby I could pursue my Krishna conscious endeavors. So it's the faith on the Guru which takes one very far. I hope I've been able to answer your question, Prabhu. Thank you. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.